Good morning and welcome to the KGNC Golden Spread Agribusiness News Hour. I'm your host, Bryce Hudson, and every Thursday we sit down with Mr. J.D. Raglin, a part of the Texas AgriLife Extension Service down in Randall County. How are you doing today, J.D.?
Doing great, Bryce. Great to talk to you and have the opportunity to visit and just kind of bring our listeners out there an update on our agricultural situation, not only in Randall County, but throughout the High Plains region.
Well, I know that the High Plains today, or actually yesterday, got a little bit of moisture, a little bit of slow rain. How's it turning out for us?
Yeah, that's right. Actually, in Canyon, we just kind of caught what we might call a light drizzle. But golly, temperatures have dropped off. Matter of fact, I think yesterday at one point during the day, it was still somewhere around 56 or 7 degrees, mm-hmm. which is awfully unusual for this time of the year. And you might ask, well, you know, what does that do to these crops that have just been recently planted? Well, I can tell you that those cold temperatures, or cooler rather, is not ideal for our young cotton that's trying to get established and establishing some good growth and development, because basically what that weather does is just shuts down, at least for a time period, until temperatures begin to warm and that ground temperature begins to increase again. It'll just virtually shut down any growth or development during that time period. So, you know, pretty unseasonal to see this sort of cool snap, if you will, this overcast that we've had virtually all day yesterday, particularly for cotton. It is a crop that likes warm temperature and likes those ground temperatures to be, you know, at least 60 to 7 degrees or plus, to be able to get some good growth and development. So a little bit unusual there. Again, we still remain extremely dry throughout Randall County and various parts of the High Plains. I know some areas have caught more rainfall than others. It's kind of been scattered, if you will, throughout. But right here in Randall County, I know we are still extremely dry and moisture is still desperately needed. Some of our dry land producers are definitely suffering right now as they're working to meet the deadline again, particularly for cotton, as the last day cutoff for planting for insurance purposes is June 5th. So we're not too far away from that, and I know producers are desperately trying to get crops in to try to meet that deadline as well.
Well, and I'm glad you mentioned it. You know, some of these crop producers have been struggling a little bit. And you and me, not too long ago, got to go out to Bushland to the research center and talk a little bit about small grains, majority wheat, and a little bit of triticale out there. You know, that was a really good experience to kind of see how they're doing, you know, some of this groundbreaking technology with just genetics and breeding for these wheat producers up here.
Yeah, that's right. And we just recently, last week, matter of fact, completed the Bushland Wheat Field Day, which we have each and every year about this time. And it is a golden opportunity for producers to go to learn about the various different varieties that were utilized as test plots out at our USDA research farm in Bushland, and be able to showcase that in a show-and-tell type atmosphere. So we had a great program out there. Of course, all the team out there at USDA Research and Dr. Jordan Bell, who's our extension agronomist, does a lot of plot work out there as well, and her crew, as well as Jackie Rudd, who is a plant wheat breeder out there as well. Certainly do a great job of leading that whole extensive study and all the demonstration work out there. Kind of interesting with the varieties that were showcased. Even though it's been an extremely dry year, we've seen where several of those varieties look like at this point in time have performed extremely well, particularly with the conditions that we've been faced with, drought. I know out there at the Bushland Research Farm, about 2 to 3 weeks ago, had a storm come through. They received some hail damage out there as well. And although some of the wheat did receive damage, for the most part, those plots look really good out there. A couple of varieties we'd like to highlight and remind producers about. You know, Bryce, it won't be too long, and we'll be thinking about planting wheat, which will be just around the corner. Mm-hmm. I know that's hard to imagine since harvest hadn't even started mm-hmm. yet. But according to some of the data, roughly about 20 to 30% of the Texas wheat crop has been harvested and completed at this time. Most of that is around the Dallas area, the Blackland area, as we commonly refer to it. That's where harvest is getting underway now, as well as maybe perhaps around the Abilene area. Some of those fields are beginning to be harvested now. Not too much harvest has begun or have started up in our neck of the woods here around the High Plains region, but soon will as these fields begin to rapidly dry down. And I would anticipate some harvest probably getting underway in our region here, probably beginning as early as mid-June or so, and probably go on for about a 30-day period. We're looking at harvest this year for grain production, of course, with wheat to be limited, and we are anticipating those yields to be lower than in years past, mainly all contributed towards drought. But a couple of varieties that we'd like to mention, not only for our listeners out there, but our producers out there, in terms of those that look like still remain, performing well, doing well, whether it be in a dual purpose situation, meaning it might be used for grazing and or maybe go to grain or a combination of both. But CAM 114 is a variety that was released by Texas A&M AgriLife in 2014. It still does a really good job. It's ideal for our part of the world. It's a good dual purpose type variety, meaning that it provides good grazing as well as good grain yield potential. So that is a variety that is considered to be medium, and the maturity is considered or classified as medium as well. So that's a good variety as we move forward into thinking about, you know, getting some seed on hand or making a plan for seed as we get ready for planting to occur. Most of it kicks off, around mid-August to latter part of August in our part of the world as far as wheat crop planting for next year's season as well. Another variety out there we'd like to highlight as well is TAM 204. Again, this is another Texas A&M variety that was released in 2014. Does really good. It is a beardless variety, and then it can withstand heavy grazing and can also produce good yields as well. So there was probably around 60-ish or so varieties out there that were showcased. Those varieties are planted at the USDA Research Farm in Bushland in small plot sizes. A lot of those plots are just, say, for example, 3x3s in size, but they're replicated multiple times. And again, as those plots reach harvest and that data is collected, all that data will be available through any of your county extension agents, through the Texas A&M AgriLife Extension Service, and producers out there will have an opportunity to obtain those results, look at them, see the results of all the varieties, and be able to make some decisions come planting season towards the mid or tail end of August.
Well, and I've got to give a huge shout out to Texas AgriLife Research as well as the USDA for really putting a lot of hard work into planting these varieties, doing a lot of breeding, whether it be, you know, drought resistant insects for certain insects, diseases, no matter what. They put a lot of hard work out there, and all you producers out there, stay tuned for those data that's going to come out pretty soon, because they've got some good seeds ready to go. But I was going to mention to you, JD, you know, you just recently came back not too long ago from a trip kind of around the nation, out in Memphis and out in Kentucky area. You know, how did that go for you, and what'd you learn out there?
Yeah, well, we were very fortunate and blessed here in District 1, where several of our ag agents, county extension agents, were able to take part in a tour, an agricultural tour, professional development tour, and there was about 10 of us, and we departed here in Amarillo on May 14th. It was a week-long tour, but we made several tour stops, as you mentioned already, up through Tennessee and Kentucky, and came back on the way home through Oklahoma, and just had an excellent tour with some professional development. And we got to see not only a lot of different parts of the world, but some really unique farming and ranching operations, as well as some horse farms when we were over in Kentucky. And Bryson, I might mention to you too, you know, we think we live, and we do for a lot of the year, live in a dry part of the world. And honestly, one thing that we all were in agreement on that trip, there is places of the world that do get rain. And basically, when we left, we drove up in vans when we left here and basically got to Oklahoma City and went north. Man, the further north we went, the greener it got. So folks in other parts of the world are blessed with good moisture. But yeah, I'd just like to mention a few stops that we made, because, you know, us in extension, sometimes, you know, it's good for us to get out and see agricultural production in different states throughout the nation, and we were blessed to have this opportunity. A couple of key highlights, though, that I thought was really interesting. As we went to Memphis, we were able to go to the what is called the Ames Plantation. And the Ames Plantation is a really unique farm and ranch. It was established in 1909. Mr. Ames purchased what is known as the historical Jones Manor House there, and began to farm. At that time, the farm was about 25,000 acres, and it was located near Grand Junction, Tennessee, and just mainly a really neat tour. We got to tour the manor house, and there is some very historical memorabilia. One thing that I recall and was really a highlight to me, Mr. Ames had a lot of historical things that he purchased that was in his home, and they left the home as it was when he passed. And one thing that was interesting to me, there was several different rugs throughout the house. And at one point when we were getting a tour, we were standing on a rug that the tour guide quoted to us was worth $200,000.
Wow.
And that was kind of hard for me to swallow, but it was really neat. One of the unique things on that particular farm, it had an old but in excellent original condition, a horse barn that had a bunch of horse stalls in there. And one of the interesting things to me, I personally had never seen this before, but back in the day when they built haylofts on top of horse stall barns, mm-hmm. each one of them had what they call a hay drop. And the hay that they were feeding the horses dropped from the upper loft down through a closet. Hmm. The loft had a hole in it at the top, and as they were feeding, someone would be on top and where the hay loft is and drop the hay down through the closet, and you would open the door to the closet, and there the hay would be, and whoever was feeding would gather that hay up and take it over and feed the horses. So that was kind of neat, but the Ames Plantation, as you know, really did multiple facets. In terms of agriculture production, they produced crops on that farm, as well as had a world-renowned Angus herd. And maybe most of our folks out there don't know, but Mr. Ames was awful proud of his cattle. And in 1927, he had the Junior Reserve National Champion that he raised on his farm. And Mr. Ames was a world and renowned bird hunter, but more importantly, he had a lot of bird dogs that he was really proud of. And actually, it still exists today. He still hosts every year the National Field Tri Championship. Now, this is a championship for bird dogs, and it's been ongoing and still is since the early 1900s that actually takes place on the Ames farm. So that was really unique and interested to me, and we learned quite a bit about agriculture there at the Ames Plantation. Real quickly, just a couple of other highlights, and I could talk all day about the tour, but we also had an opportunity to tour the Elvis Mansion and Museum there in Memphis as well. And then we had the opportunity to move on over to Deer Valley Farms and visited a Angus farm there in Fayetteville, Tennessee. And that was a real interesting stop. They've got phenomenal Angus cattle there. Matter of fact, there was an Angus cow that they had there that generated $6 million worth of progeny. That one cow did. And when she passed away, she was 19 years old when she passed away. And when she passed away, they had her head mounted, and she was mounted on their wall of their barn and still had the original ear tag in her ear, which she was noted as the Super Cow 614. 614 was her ear tag number. So that was really unique as well. And then we visited, as we went over to Kentucky, a couple of horse farms. We went to one of the memorable horse farms, which is Windstar Farms, a world-renowned thoroughbred racehorse farm that was a 458-acre immaculate facility. They are the world leader in thoroughbred racehorse production. They have about 25 studs on that farm. And in 2018, not too far ago, they produced the Triple Crown winner, Justified, was raised on that particular farm. So a really neat stop there as well. And then on our way home, and I'll wrap up here, we had an opportunity to stop at the Tulsa port of Catoosa, which is a port that is the McAllen Kerr, Arkansas River Navigation System. It is a 445-mile navigation river system that starts at the port of Tulsa. And then it is located just east of Tulsa, and it connects the Mississippi River, and it provides freight on barges, of course, to over 20 different states. And that was a really unique stop for me, you know, to watch and see how they transport with tugboats, grain, mainly wheat, soybeans, is transported on those barges. So that was a very interesting stop and tour as well. So we just had a great opportunity to learn more about agriculture. You know, a lot of times us here at home, Bryce, we get tunnel vision about the way agriculture is in our neck of the woods. And I think it's good to see different parts of the world and see how agriculture is produced in other states across this great nation.
It sounds amazing. I never really get the opportunity to travel much. So getting to hear about some of the different agricultural industries and aspects throughout the nation is quite amazing. Well, JD, if somebody has a question or needs to reach out to Texas AgriLife Extension, how can they do so?
Yeah, you bet. We right here at home at the Randall County Texas A&M AgriLife Extension office, just simply call our office number here, and you can get a hold to me at 806-468-5543. You can also catch us or check us out on our website at randall.agrilife.org, or you can simply stop by in person by dropping by here at our office. We're located at 200 North Brown Road here in Canyon, just about a quarter of a mile past the last red light as you're headed west on Highway 60 going to Hereford. We're located just on the south side of the highway.
Well, JD, it is always a pleasure to get to sit down and talk with you every Thursday, and I can't thank you enough for coming out and speaking a little bit.
You bet, Bryson. Always a pleasure to visit with you. And once again, we just continue to ask that our listeners out there to pray for rain, and hopefully we'll receive additional rainfall through this extremely dry and drought-stricken growing season. And also, just want to give a shout-out to you guys there at the station for not only helping promote agriculture, but taking time to visit with us here and support the programs we do through the Texas A&M AgriLife Extension Service.
Well, it's always a pleasure, but that's it from us here at the studios here at KGNC. I'm your host, Bryce Hudson, signing off. You have a great and blessed rest of your Thursday morning.